Welcome to the Morbid Anatomy Transmission. I'm your host, Molly McBride-Jacobson. If you've been to the Morbid Anatomy Museum, you may have noticed there's a lot of Catholic iconography around. This isn't because of religious affiliation, but rather because traditional Catholic art tends to be really gory, theatrical, and downright strange. Perhaps the most recognizable image is the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a flaming heart with a cross in the middle of it. My guest today is Peter Nevermont, who's found himself consumed with fascination in this icon. We recorded in the Morbid Anatomy Library amidst crucifixes and taxidermy to talk about the draw of this enigmatic symbol. Would you just describe to people what the Sacred Heart of Jesus looks like?
It's a heart that's rendered sometimes very realistically and sometimes more interpretively with the ring of thorns that symbolizes the thorns that were supposedly put on Jesus' head. And then it has a cross surmounting the heart. And flames surrounding the heart. And supposedly, a saint in the late 17th century in France saw a vision of the Sacred Heart that she described that way. And she then subsequently had two people render the Sacred Heart as she described it. I think it's important to know that the kind of typical Sacred Heart we see today supposedly starts with her, but you see that same iconography back into the 15th century coming along. So it was in the air, so to speak, and then she saw, she saw what she claimed to have seen and wrote about it and became a saint.
Mm-hmm. And who was that saint?
It's Marguerite Marie Alacoque, and she's a Byzantine nun who lived in a monastery in France and saw her visions in 1685.
And so she would have been the first to call it the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
No. That's the first time. The first mention of the Sacred Heart is 11th century piece by a description. It was a book about the Passion. Written by, now they think, St. Bernard. I mean, there's probably earlier. I mean, you're always trying to find the first. You never find the first. That's the earliest I've ever found, and other people have said that's the earliest, but I'm sure there's even earlier.
Okay. And what, if you, I should have asked this earlier, but what led you to be interested in the Sacred Heart? Maybe that strikes,
no
your laughter
answer.
Strikes me.
No
is that it? Okay, all right then. We can move right on from it.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I stopped answering why about anything.
Where did you first see it?
Where did I first see it? Gee. My memory, I mean, I think in my 20s I started to, but I must have seen it before. It's an image, an iconography that's very prevalent. I don't have a recollection when I first saw it. But I have been interested in it since my 20s, yeah.
Okay. Would you paint a picture for me? So when this starts becoming a prolific image, where would I have been seeing it? Would it be in churches? Would it have been in, like, religious medals? Would it have been in stained glass?
Well, most of the Sacred Heart you see today are holy cards, and they date back, depending on what you want to call a holy card, back to the 15th century, 16th. The 19th century really has the greatest holy cards. Those are the most beautiful, imaginative around. And that's where the sacred... But you can see the Sacred Heart in stained glass windows. Here's the Milagros over here. They're in Milagros. They're retablos.
What are those?
Or that's a retablo there, right there. This is a retablo.
Mm-hmm.
And they were printed on metal. So they portrayed all sorts of religious and sometimes not religious scenes. There's statues, of course, Sacred Heart statues. There's Sacred Heart. People have done it on ceramic, but mostly it's holy cards, and that's because they're so easy to print and they're, you know, very cheap. And There's literally, I have collected, I don't know, 100, and I have the images for a couple of hundred.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of these symbols sort of came up at a point in time when a lot of people were illiterate. So, you know, you would see an icon like this, and it was meant to communicate some kind of religious parable or a virtue to you. Yeah. So when people were seeing the Sacred Heart at that point in time, what was it supposed to tell them?
Well, the meaning of the Sacred Heart, I think, I've maintained that the meaning of the Sacred Heart, if you could put it into words, then it would lose its meaning. I mean, the Sacred Heart speaks, you know, from your heart to your heart. And, you know, Marguerite Marie had a whole litany of things she wanted people to do, that is to honor the Sacred Heart and to have it in your home, have a picture of it in your home.
The heart itself, is that meant to tell us, just sort of to remind us of Jesus's suffering for us?
Well, that's one interpretation. My interpretation is this, which is not the standard. My interpretation is that Jesus is showing the viewer his heart and saying, I have nothing to hide. I'm showing you my heart. Can you say the same? Can you reveal yourself without guile in the way that I am revealing myself?
Mm. Why is it on fire then?
Why is it on fire? Well, that's what Marguerite Marie claimed she saw, that the heart was ablaze. The earliest versions of the Sacred Heart are not like that, but they have to do with the five wounds of Jesus.
Mm.
So here's the five wounds: the two hands, the feet, and of course the heart.
Side, yeah.
And that was for a long time, that was the devotion to the Jesus's heart had to do with the five wounds, which had to do with the passion. This whole thing evolved over time.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because it's clearly an evocative image. You know, it's very emotional. It's really, you know, for lack of a better words, heart-wrenching.
It's scary.
It's terrifying. And it's funny now because it's remained a really prolific image to the point that it's, you know, in pop culture, it's sort of moved beyond the religious. Honestly, before I started thinking about what this image meant when I was doing a little bit of research, I realized that the place I think I see it most is tattoos. Oh, look at that. Oh, that's beautiful. See, there we go. He just showed me a big old tattoo on his shoulder of the Sacred Heart.
And the Sacred Heart?
Elvis.
Sacred Heart of Elvis.
Yeah.
Here's
and these are all contemporary works?
Mark Ryden, a very, very, you know, outsider artist.
Oh, I love his work.
There he is. He has Sacred Heart. Here's Jeff Koons. That's his Sacred Heart. This was on top of the Met for a while.
Yeah.
He claims, he's such a, anyway. he claims all his art is the Sacred Heart. Every piece of art he's ever done is the Sacred Heart, whatever that means.
Okay, Jeff. So I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, and...
Did you get over it?
No. I mean, I think I had a moment where I was sort of disenchanted with it, but...
Are you a practicing Catholic now?
I can't say I'm practicing, but whenever somebody asks, I say that I'm Catholic. Okay. And I think that the imagery in particular is really comforting to me.
Hmm.
But it's... I mean, I think a lot of the reason that I'm drawn to the stuff I am, like the Morbid Anatomy and that sort of thing, is because Catholic imagery is really dramatic and really gory.
Yeah,
why? And it seems like in particular Mexican Catholicism and Latin American Catholicism and even some South American Catholicism tends especially towards like images of dark bodily experiences. Right. Why do you think that is?
I don't know enough about that to say.
No.
I mean the Sacred Heart of today, France is the country that the Sacred Heart is identified with because of her. And then the Sacred Heart Church, of course, in Paris, is the Basilica is the great Sacred Heart Church of the world, really. And in fact, I don't know if they're still doing it. The last time I was there, there were people in the in the front sitting, and according to what they told me, that they had been praying continuously since the church opened at the beginning of the 19th century. So they have been praying without break for over 100 years. Somebody's in there praying all the time.
Yeah, Catholics are dramatic, I'm telling you. Do you find yourself tending towards imagery that is dark and gory because of Catholicism, or?
Well, I guess I've always been, you know, I don't know how this, what led to what. Right. I mean, I remember coming here the first time, and because it was everybody on the internet that was saying this is one of the most, you know, the newest great new museum in the city. So I came over, and then I just started talking to Joanna. She was standing over, sitting over here in the corner, and I told her about the sacred, you know, because they had some Sacred Heart. And so then that, when they had that collector show, they asked me to put, I gave them, lent them 10 of my best Sacred Heart holy cards for that show.
So back to the idea of the heart. There was, for a long time, the heart was thought to be the container of the soul,
right,
and sort of the seat of you as a person. And I wonder why that is. Do you have any idea?
Well, I know that in the New Testament, and I can't quote exactly where the New Testament, it talks about Jesus's heart, and out of it comes the water. Because if you remember from the Bible, when he's speared, out comes water, and so that water is the water that waters the church. The idea that the heart is the soul. I don't know, that goes back to early philosophy, way before Christianity.
Sure, but I wonder, you know, why? Because I think we also, you know, we also had connotations about the liver being sacred. I think the brain was thought to be a respiratory organ for a while. So clearly our ideas were mixed up about the body. They probably still are. But, you know, why do you think, was it just because it pumped blood and it stopped beating after expiration?
Well, I would assume. You know, yeah. That's the reason
why
we're so attached to the heart. And the heart, of course, is connected to love. You give someone your heart. The Aztecs, you know, I have some great imagery. The Aztecs liked to cut people's hearts out while they were still beating. Mm-hmm. So they saw something in the heart. And, you know, that's Jesus's, you know, crucifixion. He's killed by the spear that goes into his heart.
Are there any other sacred organs? Like maybe a sacred bladder, a sacred brain?
I've never heard of
that. No?
I haven't heard. Somebody must have heard of it, but I have never heard.
Well, sure, but I mean, it is true that, you know, we're sitting in the library right now, and I can count at least 10 hearts just, you know, looking to my right here. And it just seems interesting. I guess there's a foot on the wall there as well.
Those are milagros.
Milagros, is that what those are?
Yeah, they're Sacred Heart milagros. But the milagro was something you use. So if you had sore feet, you would then buy get a milagro foot. These are feet, but here's some milagros here. Isn't this a weird one?
Yeah, when is that from? Oh, look at the pyramid with the eye in it.
Yes, that's a good one. Now, you like bloody? There's bloody.
Oh, gosh. That's beautiful. What is that?
Those are milagros.
Oh, they are?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Sacred Heart milagros.
They're so vibrant.
Yeah.
So do you know, as our knowledge of the heart and the anatomy of the heart changed, did our attitude towards the Sacred Heart change?
Well, first, that the circulation that Harvey discovered had been discovered a couple of hundred years before by an Arab who wrote about it. So, I mean, at one time the thought was that the blood didn't circulate; it just kind of went down and came back up. The Sacred Heart, I think, the Sacred Heart had more to do with the Reformation than it did anything any physiology, in the sense that the Protestant challenge to the Catholic Church was the individual, you know, the individual had a connection to Jesus, God, whatever, and the Catholic Church wanted to keep the priest as the mediator, I suppose. As the Reformation went on, it became the interiorization of religion, and that's where the Sacred Heart came about. That the Church could have an image that was interior, but at the same time, the Church would mediate it. So it came out of the Reformation. The Sacred Heart, as we know it, came out of the Reformation, not out of Harvey and the birth of science.
Interesting. You have a lecture coming up, and what can people expect out of that? Obviously, anybody listening to this right now is missing a whole bunch, because you've just got a whole folder of beautiful, beautiful Sacred Heart images here. Yeah.
The lecture is, on one hand, a history, somewhat of a history. But what I've been doing with all these images and what this writing is, that I've been writing a book on the Sacred Heart. And so the way I've approached this is sometimes it's just, here's a piece about the Renaissance and how the individual became more prominent. And it really not so much about the Sacred Heart. It's more about the beginning of the Renaissance. And then here's one that's about the interiorization of religion. And here's one about how the Sacred Heart is anticipated. So it's what I've been doing is just like writing whatever I felt like when I saw these images. And some of them are historical, some of them are philosophical, some of them are poetic. They're all, and I come at this in all different ways. I think a symbol, if you could explain the symbol, then it wouldn't have any power. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you could explain it in words, then who would need it? What is the Sacred Heart? I mean, what does it mean? What is it? I think that's part of its power, that it is undefinable.
Thanks for listening to the Morbid Anatomy transmission. That was Peter Nevermont, whose illustrated lecture will take place at the museum on Wednesday, June 24th. Peter is also in the midst of writing a book, a series of musings on the Sacred Heart, and the lecture will provide a sneak peek into that. Also, this Sunday, June 28th, the Morbid Anatomy Museum is hosting its spring flea market. I'll be there because I want to expand my tooth collection. Some other spooky stuff coming up includes a guided tour of H.P. Lovecraft's Brooklyn, and Now You See It, Now You Don't, a lecture on the psychology of magic. Tickets to these events, as well as the search for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, are available at morbidanatomymuseum.org. Today's last words come from St. Lawrence, patron saint of cooks and chefs, who was roasted to death on a hot gridiron in 258 AD. He said, "I'm well done, turn me over."